Hi, everybody. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Being Every Day. Bianca, I know, I think my numbers are sequentially wrong as the episodes, but that's just me and my dyslexia and my crazy brain just missing the mark. Good thing I didn't have to find a treasure on a map because I'd probably be walking around in circles. As Hudson or Patrick would like to say, I could hide my own Easter eggs. Hey, that's the beauty of having a traumatic brain injury. Anyway, I am actually out and about walking Hemingway for the first time in a long time on a long walk because it's actually gorgeous outside. And no, we are not at the river, but we are walking around beautiful downtown Montville. Anyhow, it's gorgeous out. The sky is a really beautiful blue, and just it's so magnificent to see the new leaves coming up on the trees and the flowers and just all the new life as this next cycle of life starts. And here we are, pretty much mimicking what nature has been trying to show us all along, is that we can have a renewal. We can have a restoration. We can have a new way built upon the roots of our past. Again, not from repeating it, but really truthfully learning from it and being aware of what the experience has brought us when we're in it and the reflection back upon it. And I say a reflection because we have to remember sometimes memories can play with our brain depending on what's happening in the present moment for us. A memory that once brought us joy, if we're in a bitch-ass mood, that memory might not bring us the same joy, might irritate us because we don't want to feel happy at that moment. And then sad memories we don't want to reflect upon when we're happy. And maybe those are the times that we really should be reflecting on, times that we felt sorrow and hurt, so we can tap back into our compassion and seek the unity through generosity, not only in charity of giving of monetary, but of giving of ourselves. It's funny, as everyone knows, I've had multiple careers, and I'm very, very lucky. They've all pretty much been in the same genre of service, customer service, working with the people, whether it has been clothing or in the food industry, even home decor, because I was an interior decorator at one point. But I had started a year ago with a company creating recipes and doing food demonstration, live cooking demonstrations in restaurant depots for a food broker. And just as this pandemic was getting ready to kick our butts, I had taken a position in management with Restaurant Depot. Now, I want you to understand something. I love Restaurant Depot. I love the team that I work with. I love all the stores that I've been blessed to have been in. And it's a lot, from Neptune, New Jersey, all the way up to Maspeth, New York. And I've been very, very blessed. So the team I'm with now, I chose to be there. I had other offers, and this is something that I chose, I wanted. Come on, Hemingway. He's got to step and smell everything. He's like the mayor of this dog. Anyway, you know, I'm reading social media and looking at the news and seeing this thing about isolation and self-isolating, which I do when I'm home, and social distancing and the limited amount of people. And I got to tell you something. If you are in the food industry, and if you're an essential worker at a grocery store or a Restaurant Depot or a BJ's or a Costco's, all I gotta say is, holy shit, did certain parts of society not get the memo? Honestly, from the second we open up our doors at 7 a.m., there's a line to get in. And we opened up our doors to what we call day shopper or the general public to help alleviate some of the stress that grocery stores, supermarkets were feeling, and also to help keep our doors open and our staff as employed as much as we could. When I first went in 4 weeks ago, my hours were immediately cut. And it wasn't because I was first in, it was just a generalization across the board cut. And although the staffing is down because people are afraid to come to work, or they're calling out sick, or they're using their paid vacations to take this time to self-isolate, you know, those payrolls are still being paid. And the numbers, even though we are open, are down because, you know, the general public isn't used to shopping in a restaurant depot. So we run into a lot of challenges with pricing and explaining our pricing and weights and things like that. Anyway, that's not my story. My story is, this is the story and I'm going to tell it, is that did they not get the memo? I cannot tell you how many times during the course of the day I have to say, please stay behind the yellow line. You cannot come in here and shop in here unless you have a mask on. Please do not crowd the cashier. Please only allow 2 people per cart. Families are coming in with children and getting angry with me because I'm on the front end right now. I was supposed to be back house. I'm front house because of our staffing. And I'm grateful because I love my front end. I love the girls I work with. I love the women I work with. I love the whole team. So it's across the board. I really do. I respect each and every one of them. And I have an amazing special place in my heart for each and every employee, even the ones that rub me the wrong way some days, but for the most part. But I don't get it. You know, people yelling at me because I'm asking that there's 5 or 6 people shopping and standing online together. And I'm saying, you know, really, truthfully, we'd rather just have 1 person online so we could create the social distancing that we need and let other people in the store to shop, because you have 4 non-essential shoppers with you right now. And the backlash I get, or when I asked someone to please get behind the yellow line and they're indignant and looking at me like I've got 4 heads and literally yelling at me and telling me I'm rude because I'm telling them what to do. And it's just amazing how I'm concerned about the disrespect. And as I'm saying this, for the first time in my time here in Montvale, and actually walking around here, there is a white heron. And there are 2 gray herons with him. But this is the first time I'm seeing a white one. And he's absolutely, or she is absolutely beautiful, as are the 2 gray. Oh my God, absolutely magnificent and beautiful. Thank you, God, for this amazing symbol for me to share with everyone. Anyway, I should stop and take a picture, but I'm talking on the podcast. My point, as I'm rambling, is it's so strange because I come home and on TV, I hear the political fight going on and the political separation, and how everyone has their own agenda. And I'm thinking to myself, here I am in the tri-state area and they want to keep us closed until May 15th. But I got to be honest with you, come to one of our restaurant depots and I will be more than happy to show you thousands of people who are not listening to what is being given to us to help us reopen. And that is to wear face covering, keep social distancing. And truthfully, I don't know why we weren't doing that in the beginning. You know, the invasion of personal space. And here I am walking up and down these lines trying to maintain what the government and the CDC has given us to help protect not only the employees, but the public, the general public. You know, we put up shields for the cashiers, plastic shields for the cashiers, you know, to protect them. And they're only 1 week old and 3 of them are already broken. You know, it's perplexing to me that this is what we're experiencing at this moment, or this is my experience at this moment. But then again, I turn on the TV and that's what I see, is conflicting messages and reports. And truthfully, I see, oh, stop fighting, you two. I got two Canadian geese fighting. Stop fighting. Come here. Hemingway, let's stop them from fighting. Come on. Look, I got to keep peace even in the lake. Ooh, that's right. Get them away from your chicks. Come on. So, nosedive. So, anyway, that Canadian geese just got his ass handed to him. And I guess it's because I'm walking around talking about this, so they must be picking up on my energy. They're extremely intuitive animals, beings. But, you know, you turn on the news, and that's what I see. I see, you know, Cuomo come out with his daily briefing, and then 2 seconds later, de Blasio coming out with his counter on what Cuomo just said, and then the both of them countering what the president just said, and then Murphy falling somewhere in the middle. I just don't get it. This is a time for unification. This is a time for us to be globally on the same page. This is an opportunity through this challenge for us to have the same language that we share globally to help protect each other and to create, hopefully, a new society that has an awareness of respect and accountability. And that is what I truly feel that we had been neglecting all this time, is accountability and respect. Because as I'm seeing it with the, you know, with politics, I'm seeing it across the board with just humanity. And it's a trickle down. You know, we are going to definitely create our own judgments through observing what we visually and auditorily hear. And we have a divided leadership. We have a divided global leadership. And it's bothersome. So my hope is that we as a society can find a balance and find a unification and to understand how accountable we really are for each other and what this truly means. And, you know, my mother the other day was very upset she didn't go into a store because she said she had been walking and into the store and there was a group of kids on bicycles with no masks on, and there must have been about 10 of them. Now, I get it, they're kids and they want to go out, but they were in front of a CVS, and where are their parents, and where were the lessons for them to learn? And, you know, we started with wear a helmet to, and my son got ticketed, actually I got ticketed once in this town when he was younger because he didn't have a helmet on. But she was so upset because she wouldn't walk past them. And I'm thinking, where are the parents to show their children the effects they're going to have, not only on each other, but the trickle out, the ripple out? You know, they weren't aware that this 80-year-old woman wasn't going to walk past them, even though she had a mask on and gloves. But she walks, you know, she's got two broken hips and two hip replacements and knees, so she's not the steadiest on her feet. So she said there was multiple things happening there, and they were oblivious. So there's this, again, this oblivious to what their actions are rippling out to the rest of the world, to the rest of society. And it's hard because you're diligent and you're trying to do your best to maintain, you know, an awareness, and then, you know, to remain respectful and accountable for each other. And yet then there's this disrespect in front of you. For me, it's not going well. Oh, you know, screw that. I'm just going to do what they're doing now. For me, it creates more of an energy that says, now I have to be more diligent in my practice. I have to be more diligent in my awareness. I have to be more diligent in my concern and my respect. And I might be upset about the lack that I'm seeing from shoppers and wondering if they got the memo, because I could drive past BJ's at 7 o'clock at night on Route 17 and I see a line out their door. So I don't understand it completely. And I'm not, you know, blaming anybody. You know, we had a big joke when some people got their stimulus checks. I didn't get mine yet. And I don't know if I'm going to get it. I don't really care, truthfully. I always say that I created the stimulus check. I was stimulating the economy for a lot of years. Just ask Neiman Marcus. But, you know, I walk past even the people who have yelled at me and have shown extreme disrespect to the cashiers. I say hopa ono ono silently to me, to them, to myself. And I say, I love you, I thank you, I heal you, I forgive you. I love myself, I heal myself, I forgive myself, I thank myself. Because I could be that person. I could be so upset about something that happened at home and it's making me mindless and just on autopilot, just doing what I know to do and not aware of everybody else around me. And that is the case. But I was laughing because one of the things that we said was, you know, we were quiet in the morning and we were like, yes, this is really super great. Maybe we'll have like a normal day and we can, you know, start to clean the store and get back to some normality. And I don't mean clean the store as in disinfect. I mean to put things back, because that's my other pet peeve now, is people picking up things, opening up boxes, opening up packages, eating from them, and then leaving them half uneaten in the aisles, or taking something off a shelf and saying they want it and then deciding they don't want it and they just leave it in a completely other aisle. So cheese and dairy are going bad because they're in the aisle with paper goods, and we're having a hard time getting deliveries. So when I see fish laying out and I'm walking past, and we have to throw it out because we don't know, you know, what's happened since it was bagged and given to that person or since they touched it. So there are people who are not getting things because somebody else decided to feed their own need and then discard it without the mindfulness of what that looks like. But I was driving down Route 17, and that day it was really quiet in the morning, and then all of a sudden around 11 o'clock, all hell broke loose. And one of the managers looked at me and said, stimulus checks. And I went, oh my God, you're right. And I was driving past the Outback, which I drive past all the time, and it's been very quiet. And all of a sudden, 7 o'clock at night, and there is traffic on Route 17. And I can't understand why, because, you know, we're supposed to be home. And there was a line that was a half mile long up Route 17 waiting to get into the curbside pickup for Outback. So they're stimulating the economy. Yes, yes. But you got to have a mindfulness to this as well. You know, there's a mindfulness to what we're doing and what's happening. And it's funny because I'm thinking about it as I walk past the lake that I just walked past. I've seen these Canadian geese for 10 plus years and never seen a fight in there. And yet I'm talking about this disruptive energy and what happens. It rippled out from me and affected, I believe, the geese, because they're intuitive beings. They have an amazing intuitive instinct to navigate and to create their V formations and their gaggle. So just that awareness that your own presence, your own energy can actually do that to your environment, your immediate surroundings. I used to teach that in the yoga class. I used to share that, encourage that in the yoga class, that yes, you might have had a bad day and you're using yoga as a way to shed that experience, to transform it into a positive, into an opportunity so we could feel better. But yet if you walk into the room and you're huffing and puffing and throwing your mat down and your energy is all erratic and chaotic and broken, then I could watch actually the whole studio, the whole class start like a domino effect, react to it, even if they don't know each other. And even if the person who's in that state at that moment is, you know, all the way in the back left corner, the person all the way in the front right corner, 60 people away, is experiencing it. You know it for a fact, even if you don't believe in the metaphysical, even if you think that my spiritualism for the mainstream is all hocus pocus and magic or whatever, or delusion. The truth is, you know that. You know that when you walk into a room, you could feel an energy, or when you meet someone, you can immediately connect to something. And there's no judgment to what it's good or bad. These are all observations. And like I said, I'm not judging the people who are coming in. I'm fully aware of that we're all kind of on autopilot. But my invitation is to turn off autopilot, to experience this. Don't disconnect from this time and then just go out and become reactive because you're not consciously aware. You're distracted. So your physical energy doesn't have a captain. The ego is so busy worrying about something else that it's not aware of the vessel it's guiding through this energy. So we become reactive and we work on our, you know, animal instinct, like the geese just now, you know, they started fighting. You know, they were swimming together nicely together, and then all of a sudden it was an all-out war. And I'm not bashing humans. I'm just asking that we find a way to unify what we're doing and what we're experiencing and create a platform that we're all on the same awareness, same page, and that we could become respectful and accountable and to put our separations aside. There's a mantra that I was taught by the Ascended Master Dwa Kul in the teachings of Alice A. Bailey. And it says, the sons of men are one. Now, remember, this was written before I go into this. This was written in 1914. So please take away any of, you know, your judgment to that. I say men only, and I'm not saying beings or anything else. You have to remember when this was written, and I want you to connect to the energy or the intention of what this mantra is, and not necessarily the antiquated words that were used to create it. And it says, the sons of men are one, and I am one with them. I seek to love, not hate. I seek to serve, not exact due service. I seek to heal, not hurt. Let pain bring due reward of light and love. Let the soul control the outer form in life and all events, and bring to light the love that underlies the happenings of time. Let vision come in insight. Let the future stand revealed. Let inner union demonstrate, and outer cleavages be gone. Let love prevail. Let all beings love. Right there in those words, right? The pain that we're going through should reveal the opportunity of unity and love at the end in our future. We're beginning another opportunity to erase from our present time the separation. Don't let these cleave. Of course, I forgot to turn off turn on the do not disturb, and I got caught right in the middle of what I was sharing. Probably the universe's way of saying that I might be pushing the envelope a little too far and get off my soapbox about accountability and respect. But still, it's just a great social awareness of what we're experiencing right now and how sensitive we all are to the energy that surrounds us, because we have isolated on some levels. It's so curious in a lot of ways. I was talking to Hudson and we were talking about how, you know, alcoholism, drug overdose, suicide, and cancer had caused more deaths than the flu last year, and that, you know, the corona will do even as we work through this year and see all the numbers. It still will never really catch up to the numbers globally of what those four things can do and that cause death. And it's funny, those are the things that are being most affected, actually, because alcohol sales are up and domestic violence is up. Suicide is put in to the numbers that we're experiencing. There's so many deaths right now from overdose that have been naturally occurring without this pandemic, but now are heightened through the pandemic, and how out of balance we really are. And that these numbers of deaths are now mixed in with the deaths of corona until we can finally see the honest reality or the truthful awareness how many deaths were created or caused from the disease itself, because they're calling it a disease now and not a virus or a flu, and how many are related to the pandemic itself, right, that are a direct cause and effect from what we're experiencing. which would then make you ask yourself, why am I not truthfully being more aware of what I can do globally throughout uniting humanity to negate these numbers? Whether it's the regular flu, and I don't know what the regular flu is, but the common flu that they're calling it now, created more deaths. That should not be. That does not make it okay. The fact that we have more death from suicide and alcoholism, that's not okay. To even compare the numbers is so ridiculous to me, because that just shows how out of balance we were as a society, that we could turn a blind eye to something that was more of a plague and a pandemic and has gone on longer than Corona 19. That's something to ponder on, people. Something to think about. That's nuts. We have to be accountable and aware continuously, diligent and vigilant as a global society for each other. I said in the last podcast, who is it attacking the most? In the beginning, it was the young and the elderly. Well, guess what? The middle just got it too. Because the middle is not well. To me, it's not okay that the number of deaths related to these other diseases, because they are diseases, alcoholism is a disease, drug addiction is a disease, mental health has disease factors to it. How is it that we turned a blind eye all these years to those numbers, and it takes a pandemic to bring us this awareness? Perplexing. This is a Pandora box of perplexing possibilities. That's what this is. I'm maybe a little bit more sensitive to it because of my own relationship with certain parts of what I just spoke about, drug addiction and mental health, and from those that are around me and closest to me, and my own mental health at times, that environmentally, as my one doctor said, you are not clinically depressed, you're environmentally depressed. You just had 3 major surgeries in 6 months. You've spent a better part of the past year and a half in a hospital, and you've lost your career. You ended a relationship that, thank God, is back up, and I'm grateful because I love him very, very much, and it was the hardest time of my life being without him. But, you know, I had slipped. And my doctor looked at me, Dr. Joseph, you know, hi, on God bless him that he's doing what he's doing now. He's one of the healthcare workers, but you in the hospitals, but you know, he looked at me and said, this is environmental. I would be depressed. He said, damn it, Bianca, your favorite cat Bella died in your arms just the other day. I would be depressed. I would be unable to pull it together and not stop crying. So a lot of the mental health right now that, you know, that people that are strong and not that you aren't strong when you're not, don't have mental, I don't mean that. But what I mean is that there's, you know, a whole new genre of energy that's coming through that people that didn't have or were aware of or experience, you know, mental health challenges, whether personally or familiarly or with family, friends, are now facing it. They're not sure why they're feeling what they're feeling. But then again, if you look at the situation that we're in and you're isolated and you can't go to school and you can't go to work and you were supposed to start a new job and your stimulus check didn't come and for some reason you were denied unemployment but somebody else got it and you're confused because you've been working all this time and why didn't I get it? You will start to question your sanity. So this pandemic to me was an opportunity. Yes, it's a devastating challenge, but we have been experiencing devastating challenges all along. 9/11, the genocide in the Middle East. We've been experiencing it. We've been faced with it. We've seen it. Tsunamis, earthquakes, tornadoes. Just before this pandemic became a reality for everyone globally, Nashville was wiped out by a tornado. I sat in a restaurant depot and had to tell people on the phone, I'm sorry, but water is going to the natural disaster first and then to us. And that was before we even had started the isolation. So we've been experiencing this all along. The fact that it took a global pandemic to bring awareness to the value of human life or the value of any life is perplexing to me. It's a Pandora box of perplexing impossibilities and possibilities. The mantra I shared, don't separate it because it doesn't have the correct social or political jargon that you want in it. Listen and feel the intention behind it. Don't be blinded by the natural. Be fed by the supernatural. That's what I'm inviting you to do right now. That's what I'm asking, is for you to ponder upon these things and to see how you are right now as intricately important to what is happening in the shift as the president or the prime minister or the mayor, governor, it doesn't matter. Your voice is equally as important because the playing field is completely flattened. That curve is flattened. That's a flattened curve. But we can't leave this pandemic and then go back into the neglect and denial of the other plagues, the other diseases that have been riddling us all along. War, terrorism, genocide, slave trading, sex trafficking, homelessness, hunger, globally, natural disasters. Whether they're personally connected to you, that's what just happened. This became personal because it connected to everyone and we all had to become accountable. And those that aren't, that are on autopilot for whatever the reason, need to flip back on and stop being sleepwalkers, stop being muggles, and become aware and mindful of what's happening around them. I said it, people who were close to me were like, I can't believe how you're speaking right now. And I'm like, I leave sometimes work and I'm so beat up. I've been yelled at. I've been pushed. I've been cursed at because I'm asking to follow a protocol that's put in place to hopefully protect all of us, not just the people that I'm working with, but the people on the line with you. The mindfulness, I used to bug me in supermarkets too when I would see people take a bag of chips, open it, eat part of it, and then leave it. That's stealing. I don't know how to tell you that. That's stealing. And don't go around and say, well, grocery stores and companies, manufacturers that are worth billions of dollars already factor in 3% loss due to this kind of stuff. That 3% should never exist if we were accountable humans. And let me tell you something. See that bag of potato chips that you just opened and took a few out and then left it on a shelf for garbage? That could have went into one of the bags that are created daily to feed the homeless. Yeah, give that a thought. Or I love that people were, day shoppers were coming in and buying meat and fish and taking it out of the deli and then getting to the register and realizing that it was by the pound and decided they didn't want it anymore. So the line now got twice as long because we have to do a return. And then on top of it, it's got to be discarded because we don't know how long you had it on your U-boat and what you did with it. So now it's got to be thrown out. So if that was going to go to a food pantry, it can't now. So not only is it stealing, but it's neglect. And yeah, I am passionate about that. The same way when you're late, you're stealing someone's time that's waiting for you, is the same way that when you walk into a store and you open the box of cookies and you take three out and you leave the rest, it's stealing. And you just stole from the manufacturer and the store, and you just directly affected, through that loss, employees. Catch my drift, people? See the rock that throws into the pond and ripples out? See how I walked past those geese and they started to fight because my energy was that energy of, you know, I was in that moment of agitation. And the minute I became mindful to it, they stopped. Turn your rage, your anger, your confusion, your chaos into order, into passion. If you feel powerless, do something that gives you power, not by overtaking another, but by doing a charitable act, something selfless. To be centered in self is to be able to do selfless actions without expecting anything in return, because you're filled with that self. Whether it's helping your neighbor and bringing them groceries, or maybe teaching your kids that at this time they can't be 10 of them hanging out in front of a CVS with no masks on and on their bicycles. Becoming mindful. So that's my soapbox for today. Hopefully this isn't too disjointed as a podcast as I try to edit and link them together. And remember, we are all one. And that we can't allow separation to create the cleavages between us. It's destroyed politics. The TV has become a platform for politicians on either side to bash one another. And it's funny, because even politicians on the same side are bashing each other. So it's just chaos. But hopefully order will come through it, because as humanity starts to unite on a higher awareness and level and an enlightenment, maybe we can see through the bullshit and have divine communication through divine awareness, divine light. I always say divine light is like walking into an abandoned apartment in New York City that has been empty for 10 years. The minute you turn on the lights, you get to see all the little cockroaches. But the beauty of it is that you get to see where the cockroaches live. So you could close up those holes, not allowing them to contaminate or corrupt or infiltrate that space again. So awareness isn't a bad thing. It's a good thing, because it allows us to see the cracks. Right? The crack in the vase lets the light out and in. The breaking of the shell is a new life. See it. As this shell is breaking, allow a new way to come through, to unite us, and to enjoy this renewal. So the generations behind us can learn. Not look and shake their heads and say, oh my God, they were doing stupid human tricks. Okay, I love you. I'm grateful to have this moment with you. I'm grateful to have shared this podcast. Thank you for everyone who's been listening. Thank you for Anchor for having me on. Share, rate,